Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. Let's get straight to the docket. First, Ghislaine Maxwell negotiating for bail. Second, an example of why you don't attempt to take things that belong to other people. Third, a body cam video has been released in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Fourth, teacher goes to jail for kicking a student. Fifth, a two-year-old abandoned at a Goodwill. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. Hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And we will be going live tonight at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. And then we'll be doing our Patreon members as well right after that. Now, Ghislaine Maxwell, first on the docket today. She is negotiating for bail. Now, we've talked about Ghislaine Maxwell quite a bit and her trials and tribulations related to bail. When one appears in federal court, you go in front of the magistrate. You get that one bite at the apple to try and get out. If the court finds that you are a danger to the community and a flight risk, guess what? You are staying in federal custody until your matter is resolved. Bottom line. You can appeal that, which Ghislaine Maxwell attorneys have done. You can appeal the decision from the magistrate up to the district court. You can even appeal to the Circuit Court of Appeals if you don't like the court maintaining the position of the magistrate that you're a flight risk. As long as it's based upon reasonable evidence and the likelihood that one will flee, guess what? It's not going to be reversed on appeal. You don't get to come back and continue to argue for a bond reduction. If that were the case, everyone in custody would argue for a bond reduction every time they went to court. Well, Ghislaine Maxwell, I guess we can see why her former boss, Jeff, liked her. She is very persistent. And obviously through her attorneys, she is trying to get out of custody. And basically what the attorneys for Ghislaine Maxwell are doing is trying to negotiate her bail and trying to say, hey, judge, we're willing to put up $28.5 million in kind of a bail package that would include armed guards to ensure that she remains safe and that she doesn't flee a New York City residence. The bail arguments on behalf of Ms. Maxwell were first filed under seal last Tuesday, but they were released to the public on Monday. There were some redactions in there. Now, in the bail package were numerous letters from family and friends who insisted that Maxwell sought seclusion in a New Hampshire home in December after receiving death threats and worrying that public and the media would find her and find out where she was living with her husband. Now, a security specialist who offered to pledge $1 million towards the bail package and to provide armed security for Maxwell if she is released on bail, said Maxwell retreated into a back room of her residence when the FBI approached because she thought that it was reporters that had actually found her. As you may recall, the government made the argument that she attempted to flee when the FBI raided her home. Now, the spouse of Ms. Maxwell, who's never really been identified, said that they were offering a bail package partially consisting of a $22.5 million personal recognizance bond secured by $8 million in property and $500,000 in cash. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I could offer a $100 million personal recognizance bond. It means that I don't have to put up the collateral. And here, $8 million in property and $500,000 in cash is sure a lot less than the, you know, $28 million that they want to put up or $22 million that they want to put up. Maxwell's attorneys also put in basically a financial statement and said that the majority of the $20.2 million in assets that Ms. Maxwell had was actually put into a trust, which is now controlled by her spouse. Apparently, there's $16 million in cash and equities, but the ultimate worth is about $22.5 million. Now, the government is obviously concerned that Ms. Maxwell, who has a French passport, can flee to France and that she would not be extradited back to the United States. That's been the concern of the court. How much is your freedom worth? If you put up $20 million in a personal recognizance bond, ooh, scary. You're going to promise to pay the court? I've never seen anybody have to pay a personal recognizance bond when they fail to appear. It just doesn't happen. So all this other stuff where they're trying to offer $1 million here and maybe some property, but she's not putting up her trust fund that's controlled by the estate, that would be a huge red flag to the court that this person is going to leave. Think about it. What is your freedom worth? If it meant spending the rest of your life in prison and dying, would it be worth getting out, saying you'll promise to pay, keeping all of your money separate, and flee the country? It can be done. I think Ms. Maxwell's bond request is going to be denied yet again. Let me know what you think in the comments. Now, next on the docket, this is an example of why you don't attempt to take other people's things. Please meet Jonathan Hernandez. Now, he was trying to allegedly break into a home the other day by climbing through a window. And apparently, while Mr. Hernandez was trying to work his way through the window, it unexpectedly closed on top of him, pinning him and keeping him suspended in air. Well, guess what? Hernandez was found dead by the deputies who arrived on scene, and the police called in their major crime unit to see what was the cause of death. Now, Mr. Hernandez's family and friends say that he's a good guy. This couldn't have happened. There must be some foul play that took place. Well, apparently the window actually landed on Mr. Hernandez's neck, and that's what caused his death. They're still waiting for an autopsy, but seems like that's probably what happened. Now, his family, who was trying to make Mr. Hernandez look like a good guy, said that when she first met Mr. Hernandez, she thought he'd look like he has a rap sheet like El Chapo, but then went on to say, no, he's completely the nicest guy, and he has the biggest heart. He apparently also had some previous convictions, and no one could explain why he was going into someone else's property via the window. Apparently, he had no permission to be there to go into the house, and guess what? That would be a burglary. So, just a good example of why you do not take other people's things. Bad things can happen to you, even accidentally, when the window comes slamming down on you, on your neck. It can happen. Just remember that. For all of those out there who want to go take other people's things and you're going to go through the window, remember, bad things do happen. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report that's going to give you this person's social media information. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. All right, we're back from our quick recess. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be absolutely happy that you did. All right, next on the docket. In the Ahmed Arbery case, the man who filmed the alleged murder of an unarmed jogger admits he tried to block Mr. Arbery several times. So, William Roddy Bryan, the man who filmed the alleged murder of Ahmed Arbery, admitted to police that he tried to block Mr. Arbery several times before Mr. Arbery was ultimately killed by a father and son duo that had been trying to run him down and block him. Body cam footage released shows William Roddy Bryan speaking to police officers shortly after Gregory and Travis McMichaels stopped in the middle of a residential street in February as Arbery tried to run past them. Travis McMichaels ended up in a scuffle with Arbery and shot Mr. Arbery three times. Now, what is the significance of this? Well, Bryan, as you may recall, gave an interview saying that he had done nothing to be involved in a shooting and told the officers on the day of the incident that he made a few moves at Arbery after there had been break-ins in the neighborhood and they thought that he was in fact the suspect. Now, we have talked about this case extensively, and these three individuals, Mr. Bryan and the McMichaels, they have trouble. Now, this is where everybody gets upset with me. The Arbery case, I'm telling you, from the perspective of a defense attorney, and we have broken this down, under the citizen's arrest statute in Georgia, the McMichaels were not justified because they didn't actually see a break-in or anything taking place. And you certainly can't chase somebody down, confront them with a rifle, and they try to get around you or even grab the rifle that you're pointing at them in self-defense and then claim, yeah, I shot him in self-defense. It doesn't work that way. But we walked through the jury instructions in that particular case. The McMichaels and Bryan, they have some serious problems in this particular case. They should have called the police. You don't need to go do self-help justice. It only creates bigger issues. As you can see, all three of these men remain in custody without bond on charges of aggravated assault, false imprisonment, malice murder, felony murder, and criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. Now, the Georgia Bureau of Investigations Director, Vic Reynolds, previously said that he thought that Bryan was simply a witness, he would never have been arrested. Reynolds added that Bryan didn't actually have to be the shooter to be charged with felony murder in Georgia, which is very similar in lots of states that have a felony murder statute. Felony murder is a crime in Georgia where if you are committing a felony crime and that crime ends up in the death of another human being, then that's felony murder. Now, just last month, the judge presiding over these proceedings denied the McMichaels petition for bail, saying that they had no way of knowing if Arbery was involved in the burglaries that they suspected. The court went on and said, and that somehow resulted in individuals thinking it was appropriate to block that individual's path of travel, shoulder a firearm in order to get him to stop. I think the court agrees with me in this particular situation. And I'm a defense attorney, and if I represented these individuals, I would be doing everything I could. But I would have to have the heart-to-heart conversation with all of these individuals, if they were my client, to say, you are in a pickle. We need to potentially look at resolving this case unless you trust the jury of 12 citizens to do it for you. We'll continue to follow this case because we're going to have a trial here in a couple of months. Next on the docket, a teacher goes to jail for kicking a student. That's right, a Kansas teacher was fired when she was caught on video kicking a kindergartner and then pled guilty to battery last week and was sentenced to 30 days in jail and 1 year probation. Crystal Smith, who's 55, was seen on the surveillance footage kicking a 5-year-old girl at a Blue Jacket Flint Elementary School in the Shawnee Mission School District in February of 2019. In the video, the girl hides on a library shelf after other students have left. Smith pulls her out and walks away, but returns and kicks the child in the back. Now, according to court documents, the girl's mother learned about the incidents after school and spoke with Smith about it. But Smith denied hurting the girl, allegedly saying that the child was not being truthful and she must have harmed herself. School officials then went back and watched the video after the mother contacted the school. Smith was placed on leave and subsequently fired when the district's investigation was completed, which clearly showed she kicked the child. The mother has filed a federal lawsuit against Smith and the school district, and I think the school district is going to have to get their checkbook out along with Miss Smith. I have handled cases where teachers have been charged with abusing children. I once represented a teacher, a special ed teacher, who was accused of harming a special needs student. I assure you, when the client pled guilty and was sentenced, I think everyone agreed that this person should not be a teacher ever again. Ironically, though, the teaching board let them back on. Unbelievable to me, but those kinds of things happen. I guess everyone is redeemable. Let me know if you think 30 days was too much or simply not enough. Now, we've had a lot of people that would qualify for the Parent of the Year Award, and I say that facetiously. And obviously, we don't want to judge particular individuals. Perhaps they were at their wits' end, and this is what they thought was going to be the best thing for the child. But police in Mississippi have taken one suspect into custody after a toddler was abandoned at a Goodwill location with just a note and a change of clothes. The 2-year-old boy, who authorities did not identify by name, was left behind at a donation center. Authorities said the child was dropped off by a man wearing black jogging pants and a black cowboy hat who left the scene on foot. The toddler had with him a plastic grocery bag containing a note and some clothing, according to the police. Surveillance cameras in the areas captured the images of the man and a woman who authorities believe were involved in the incident. The two were seen together in a red vehicle when the boy was abandoned. The one suspect that has been arrested came after a public appeal for information. The police wanted everybody to know that the child was in the care of the Child Protective Services and would remain there until they were going to be reunited with the family under the proper conditions. Once Goodwill became aware of the situation, they immediately contacted police. So I guess, like I said, we don't want to judge. Maybe there were circumstances where they thought this was their last resort. Maybe it could have been handled differently. Maybe there was some ill intent. We don't know. But it restores your faith in humanity that people came forward to identify the people that were involved. And apparently the child was well-nourished, cared for, and dressed appropriately for the weather. So I will be wanting to follow this story a little further to find out why this was done. Let me know if this destroys your faith in humanity or if maybe it gives you a little glimmer of hope that there's still some good people out there looking out for others. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Meet Caleb Kleiss. Now, obviously, we'll give him the presumption of innocence, but he had a little too much fun with his alcohol and a firearm. He's been charged with drunk driving, improper exhibition of a dangerous weapon, and using a firearm while under the influence. He was released on bond yesterday after posting a $900 bond. My gosh, he had to post more bond than Ghislaine Maxwell is asking for. She wants a personal recognizance bond. So it is alleged that Mr. Kleiss had the barrel of his rifle sticking out of the vehicle's driver's side window. At one point, Mr. Kleiss apparently lifted the weapon off his lap and pointed it out the window. This put the witness in great fear. That is what is referred to as menacing in lots of states. If you put somebody in fear of death or serious bodily injury because of a deadly weapon, you could be charged with a felony. Now, you certainly don't want to be intoxicated and in possession of a firearm because that is an offense, I believe, in nearly every jurisdiction. And apparently when Mr. Kleiss was contacted, his BAC was 0.08. Mr. Kleiss did have an explanation, though. He said that since he has relocated to Florida from Alabama, he's seen some shit And frankly, it's just made him paranoid. The firearm was in the back seat, so he thought he would just move it to the front seat and carry it on his lap. He probably would have been fine had he not been intoxicated and pointing the weapon. So, Mr. Kleiss, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations, you've made it. And if you are a winner for the week, you will receive Crime Talk merchandise, guaranteed not to make you paranoid, but in fact to make you happy and comfortable and safe and secure. Buy your Crime Talk merch today at the link below. All right, thanks for watching. Don't forget, tonight we go live 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We've got a lot to talk about because, frankly, couldn't do it last week. And then immediately after that, for all our Patreon members, we will do our show as well, and we will give you the added bonus of you being able to call in and talk with me. I assure you, the small price of Patreon, calling and asking an attorney regarding advice, whether it be a criminal case in the news or maybe your particular matter, guess what? It costs less to join Patreon than call me up and talk to me. So please do that. We'll see you tonight. Have a wonderful day, and thanks for watching Crime Talk.